Lord, there's nobody greater than you. And for those that are still searching, let me save you some time, effort, and money. You will find nobody greater. Let us turn our attention to Psalm 138. Let us look to the Lord. Father, we honor you. We praise you, God, and we thank you. Have your way, Lord, send your anointing, that this experience in your word will be exactly what you have ordained it to be. Help me, O Lord, to get out of your way so you can have your way, God. Bless us as we dig into your word together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Psalm 138 is a psalm of thanksgiving. And we want to talk from the title, God, I Thank You. God, I Thank You. It sounds like it's something easy to say, but so many times we forget to tell God, thank you. We forget. God is so automatic in our lives sometimes with some of the base things that we need. We forget to tell God, thank you. We take so much for granted and forget to tell God, thank you. If you ask someone with asthma about the atmosphere, they'll respond differently to God than you would. If you had trouble breathing, you would respond differently about air and atmosphere than somebody else that has no problem breathing. So, you know, we just take things for granted. It's not till you can't catch your breath that you begin to thank God for breath. And that's just the way life is sometimes. God is just so smooth at what he does that we just forget to say, God, I thank you. But this time of year, Thanksgiving, is a time when many people are focused on being grateful and thankful for what they do have. Thanksgiving reminds many of us of what we have taken for granted. It reminds us of things that we forgot to be thankful for. Amen, amen. Because it's a lot of gathering around, and, you know, when you get finished thanking God for the turkey and the trimmings and all the food, you might just look up on your plate and thank God for your mama and your daddy and your brother and your sister and the cousin that you can't stand but one day of the year because she makes some slamming yams. Some folks don't like folks when they cook. Once you finish cooking, they ain't got no use for you. Oh, y'all didn't like that, but it's true. We take so much for granted. Many times we thank God for the big things and forget about the small things that we receive on a daily basis. You'll have somebody come and tear the church up because they got a new house. But they didn't thank God that they still living to live in the house. Nothing wrong with it, but let's give God thanks for everything. God, I thank you for my new house. But God, I thank you for the life that you give me that I can live and enjoy this house. And sometimes we got some thanks that's overdue to God. And it's just good to be thankful. We thank God. We couldn't live without God, but God makes things happen so automatically. Some of us, we get up, don't even thank God. We're so busy trying to press our way to work. Not only did you forget to thank God for the job, you forgot to thank God for keeping you throughout the night, that you're able to wake up late and go to a job. Lord have mercy. But God does that. You know, he just does that. You know, the sun rises, the moon comes, the sun sets, the moon comes, and it just blows our mind, but it just happens so automatically that I'm afraid that we're not thankful. And being in the Holy Land, they said we ought to be more thankful. We got some privileges that they don't have. My God. And we just ought to be thankful. Whether you can eat steak every night or not, there's some of us in here that not starving. Don't ask me how I know. Don't ask me how I know. I'm on the treadmill too. Amen. Amen. The Lord is good. We get all of a sudden mad about things we can't get, things we don't have. And then you go home and open your refrigerator, open your closets or your cupboard. You say, Lord, have mercy. Amen. Amen. We got food in the house and we're still called for delivery. I wish I had a witness. Not because we don't have time to cook. We just don't feel like.
There's some folk ain't even got a stove. We got the stove, got the stuff to go with it. The gas is in fact on. We got stuff we can fry, stuff we can bake, stuff we can make. But we still call out for delivery because we don't feel like, come on. We ought to be thankful. Lord have mercy. My God. Sometimes God got to get us back down to the peanut butter and jelly sandwich stage for us to be thankful. God, I don't need you to do that in my life. If I want peanut butter and jelly if I want it. I don't want you to force me to eat it so I can be thankful for the steak I had on Monday. I wish I had a witness there. Folk walk around mad because they can't get what they want to eat. But you got something to eat. We go down to Chosen 300, y'all. They trying to figure out why they trying to carry stuff out with them. Because they don't know where their next meal. You know where yours is coming from. They don't know. And you like, why you got to take everything? Guess why? Because they don't know where their next meal is coming from. Oh, my God. We are feeding the homeless. They don't even have a home or a house to call their own. But yet we're not thankful. I get a hole in my roof and I'm mad at the house. But at least I got a house. And I got to call somebody to fix a hole in my roof. The homeless people don't even have a house with a roof on it that a hole could be in it that they could be mad about getting a hole. I'm just talking about being thankful. That's all. I'm just talking about being thankful. You mad and upset because you ain't got nothing clean to wear. Not if you don't have anything to wear. Oh, I wish I had a witness in here today. You just don't have anything clean to wear because for 2 weeks you left all your nice stuff. You just let it get dirty. Oh, my God. Their folks don't have anything to wear. You got 2 weeks of stuff that need to be cleaned and washed. Oh, the wash is still working. The dry is still working. You just ain't get around. You're having so much fun going here, going there, going everywhere. I guess I better move on to Psalm 138 because this it's not selling in here right, you know. My God, my God. You used to be on the bus. You mad at the car because it's not a 2012, but you used to be on the bus. The car don't even know you mad at it. The car is taking you wherever you wanted to go. The car don't know you mad at it. You mad at the car. You worrying about your status, but you're still riding. Just tell folks, if you don't like the car I have, then call me up and tell me to meet you at the showroom so you can give me the car you want. Or you don't like where I live? You want me to live somewhere else? Well, the day you let me know when you find the house you want me to have, I will meet you there. Yes, I will. I will not feel ashamed for taking your money, for you signing on the dotted line, because you want me to do better. You want me to live in a better place. You want me to have a better house and a bigger house because you pass, you want to have something better. Well, thank you. I was fine until you opened my mind to it. But when we begin to thank God for what we have, God will begin to increase. He will increase. Don't ask God, God, give me a job I can make more money if you don't know what to do with the money you have. God don't play that game, you know. God said be a good steward of everything, not only your money, your life. Your family, your marriage, your relationships, your job. We mad about the job we got, and some folk mad because they don't have a job. Oh, I wish I could talk to somebody today. That all I'm trying to say, we are more blessed than we realize, and we ought to be more thankful than we ever been in our lives. We ought to be thankful. Some folks don't even know what church is. We mad because we got to get up and go to church. That's strange behavior. But if we really knew who God was, if we really appreciated him and loved him, he was more than a sugar daddy, we'd be thankful. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because before we even ask him anything, we want to say, God, I thank you for the life. I thank you for the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus. God, I thank you redeemed me. You took my feet out of the muck and the miry clay and put them on. God, I thank you that you saved me from destroying myself. I was on my way to eternal damnation. I was messing myself up. I was drinking myself to death. I was snorting myself to death. I was living anywhere, sleeping anywhere, being anything I wanted. But God just stepped in. Oh, somebody ought to be thankful. But some of us can't be thankful because we've been all right all our lives.
We came out blessed and sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. God, I thank you. David said, God, I think David was king. David had everything and could snap his finger and get anything he wanted. But he said, in this psalm, he said, God, I thank you. And he said, I thank you because even as king, there's some stuff that jumps off in my life that only you can handle, only you can hear me, and only you can understand. I could tell somebody everything going on in my life, and they can shake their head, but they can't really understand it like God can understand it. See, you know, because we created his own image. We are the people and the sheep of his pasture. It's like when you take your car, if you take it to another shop, the manufacturer gets mad. He said, I wanted you to bring it back to me because I designed it. I know the intricacies. I know the intricate delicacies of how this thing was made. So God says, when the stuff gets too deep for everybody else, when the psychologists and the psychiatrists can't do it, when the medical professors can't do it, won't you just come and stop by and see me? I made you in my own image. I know the internal workings. I know just what to adjust. I know what to touch. I know what to do. I know how to move it. I know how to get all up in your life. I know what your heart is saying. Sometimes you can't even articulate to me. If you just say, I got it. God said, I got it. That's how well I know you. But sometimes we're not even thankful enough to even realize that just being able to talk to God is just an awesome, an opportunity. Just to know him. Just to be called by his name and call his name. That's an awesome opportunity. We ought to wear this Christian thing a little bit different. Not just a casual thing. Not just, I'll just come in and come out. No. Christianity is a way of life. It's a relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who looked beyond our fault and supplied our need and is in the business of forgiving and restoration. But in the Psalm of David, Psalm 138, this psalm reminds me of what God does for us and what God does so often that we can easily forget to be thankful. As we look closer at this psalm, we find that David starts the psalm by declaring that he will praise God. He starts off, he says, I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. Excuse me. I will praise thee with my whole heart. He said, you know what? I'm going to praise you, Lord, with my whole heart, and I don't care who's looking. You got to get to the point you're going to praise God. You don't care who's looking. That's if you're living right. Amen. Because when you're a phony boy, it's hard. Don't invite folks to church and shock them. That's not good. What? You sing on the choir. What? You preacher? You in the pool. What? You got to live this thing that folk won't be shocked when they come to visit you. But they didn't happen to be in the church that you in. I remember a man scared me one time. He said, yeah, I work with him. I said, okay. I was in the pulpit. I know him. But the way he said it, I like, what you know? But he said some nice things to sat down. I didn't want to meet him after church. No. But Psalm 138, he said, I will praise thee with my whole heart. He said, not half a heart. I'm not going to half-heart come up here and sing. If somebody called me up and sing, I ain't going to half-heart it. If I'm a half-hearted sing, then I need to get somewhere and sit down. If I'm a half-preach, I need to get somewhere and sit down. I'm doing this thing for the glory of God, and God has been good to me, and God called me to do this thing. Why is it that God called me to do it, and I want to get up and do it half-heartedly? Did he halfway wake you up? Did he halfway call you to breathe? Did he halfway keep you from your enemies? Anybody halfway healed? Coming to church with our halfway stuff. No, with my whole heart, David said. And David, I'm king. But I do know where my help comes from. I praise you with my whole heart. Before the gods when I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy temple and praise thy name. Why? For thy loving kindness and for thy truth. He said, you don't play games with me, God. You let me know exactly what it is. And because you're my Abba Father, I can deal with it. I don't mind somebody chastising me if they love me. I don't want folks just to get a punch in to get a punch in. Oh, no. I want somebody that chastise, that loves and cares, and they see that I'm going down the wrong road. And they want to pull me in because ultimately they want me to make it. He said, but thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. And what did he basically say? Because you had lifted your name and your word above everything else. Because God's name is his word and his word is his name. What do you mean? What did he tell Moses? Moses said, who shall I tell the folk that sent me? I am that I am. That's bad stuff. I love that. I would love to get something like that. Somebody said, who's done carpenter? I am. Shucks, that's all right. Four words, I am that I am. Get out of my face. Think about that. That's how he defined himself. Tell him I am sent. That is awesome.
Take me to your leader.
You know.
But this verse 3, it's not till you get to verse 3 that you find out why David is so excited. Number one, he's excited because I can come to you, God. Look at verse 3. In the day when I cry, we take for granted that we can come to God at any time of the day to cry unto him. He said, God, number one, God, I can come to you. I'm glad I can come to you. He said, in the day when I cried, I was able to come to you. Nobody else understood my tears. All these people I have working for me, all these servants, nobody else could understand my tears. But in the day that I cried, I have you to cry to. Point number one, God, I got you to cry to. When I cry to everybody else and they get tired of my tears and they don't understand me, they get tired of me, they got their own tears to cry, God, I can come. Lord, have mercy. Somebody said, he said, God, I thank you. I can come to you to cry. You don't have to be ashamed when you go to God. What it is what it is. You can't blow God's mind. God's not looking for you to come to him already done. I got it going on, God. Just stop by to say hi to you. David said, God, I thank you because I have you to cry to. I can come to you no matter what's going on in my life. Somebody needs to know you may not be able to go to family. You can't go to your husband. You can't go to your wife. You can't go to your children. You can't go to your friends. But David said, God, I thank you because I got somebody that I can go to that understands me, that knows my language, that knows my heart, that knows my struggle, that knows what I'm going through, won't talk about me, won't tell the newspapers about me, won't call my friends, and won't laugh behind my back. We ought to be thankful that I got somebody I can go to and talk to and not feel ashamed and not be belittled. I ain't got to make up nothing. Come like I am. I ain't got to put on. I'm going to have to put on down here on earth, but when I go talk to God, I ain't got to put on. Because he already knows me. He knows what I'm made out of. He sees me exactly as I am. He knows what I'm going through. God, I thank you, said David. I thank you. That's why he's praising God. He said, I'll praise you with my whole heart. And I don't care who's looking up. They don't know what I've been through. And they don't know the conversation that you and I had. See, some people look at you and say, she thinks he does. He thinks he does. Well, guess what? I think so because I've been with my daddy. And my daddy told me who I was. And he told me exactly who I am. My daddy got me straight. You were trying to tear me down. I went to see my daddy. My daddy built me up. He said, let's don't let nobody talk about you. I told you who you are. I'm building you up. A lot of us can't deal with rejection because we ain't been to see our daddy. You got anybody else telling you who you are. But my daddy said, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I might not be your type, I might not be your size, I may not be your height, I may not be your complexion, but my daddy said, I'm fearfully. Got folk walking around thinking they ain't nothing. You better go see your daddy. Let your daddy get your mind straight. Don't look at the pictures you took in 12th grade and all that stuff. They ain't you. Better becoming you. That was then, and this is, glory be to God. So number one, he said, I got you to cry to. I can come to you, God. And then look at verse 3. In the day when I cried, what did you do? Anybody ever been ignored? They just ignored you. Get upset. But David said, God, I thank you because in the day when I cry, you answered me.
David said, I'm glad you were not annoyed with me. I'm glad you know all about me and can still love. I wish I had somebody in here. Yeah. No matter what I do, no matter what God, you love me. God, you answer me. God, when folk won't forgive me, God, when I can't forgive myself, God, when I'm messed up, I can cry to you and you ask, God, I thank you. Now, not only did you hear my cry, you answered me. As a matter of fact, God, before I got everything all out of my mouth, I was crying, snotting, and doing the tissues and everything. You told me it's going to be. I'm just talking about being thankful for things we take for granted. Being able to go boldly to the throne of grace. And he said, I cried to you, God, and you answered me. So point number one, that I got you to come to, I can cry to you. And number two, when I cry to you, you answer me. Sometimes we can't stand folk crying. You cry, baby. Shut up. Get it together. We do our young boys like that sometimes. I want you to be a man. Be careful with that. Because like Jake said, there's a thing called he motions. Got men walking around all buttoned up, getting ready to explode, can't cry. Can't show no emotion. I can show you. I can cry for my wife. I'm still her man. Forget y'all. I go to the doctor. The needle too big. Something gonna happen. I'm gonna clench my fist and clench my teeth. But Lord Jesus, you might see it. If it hurt, it hurt, baby. Oh, I wish I had a witness in here. Let a man be a man. That's what's wrong in society. That's wrong with a lot of black men. They can't express themselves. We think we got to keep it all tied up and all. And then we explode. Then we explode. We need an avenue. That's why your wife ought to, or your husband ought to be your best friend. Oh, that's another message. Called going outside the family. Oh, never mind, never mind. But he said, I cried and you answered me. You heard me and you answered me. You did not forsake me. God, I thanked you. That when nobody else understands me, you do. God, I thank you when I have nowhere else to turn to. There you are. God, I thank you because 2 o'clock in the morning, everybody else is closed. My therapist don't work at 2 a.m. He or she get paid like it. But God, I'm glad, and whenever I call you, you answer. You are there. You need a summer, no sleep. Point number three, he said, not only did you answer me, you strengthened me, which strengthened my soul. God, where I was having a problem, you touched. Where I was confused and messed up, that's exactly where you went. You didn't have me explain to you 50 times what happened, how it happened, and when it happened, and what of my childhood, and all this other stuff. You taking notes, got me laid on the couch. And not to say anything wrong with those professions, but sometimes you want to get some help quick. Sometimes you're in the office, you want a 911, okay? You don't want all this other stuff. But David said, God, I thank you because not only did you answer me, you made me brave and strong. I came to you crying and I was weak. But God, when I heard your voice, when you touched my life, when you touched my problem, when you touched my situation, I began to feel my strength. I began to feel my health come back in my life. I began to be restored, God. I began to remember the promises that you gave me, the promises that you made to me. As a matter of fact, I heard you call my name like nobody else can call my name. God, you took my burdens and you took them away from me and you released me, God. And you lifted me up, God. And you filled me with your spirit. God, I thank you. God, I don't just thank you on Thanksgiving. Every day is a day of Thanksgiving. I said, God, I won't be a sinner eating Thanksgiving dinner. I'll be saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. Because I got you to cry to. And I cried to you and you answered me. And not only did you answer me, you strengthened me. You know God can give you strength that you can't get anywhere else. I don't care how much you bench press, weight, whatever.
kind of strength. But there's a spiritual strength that God can give you. That when you go back to where you were, that the same enemy might be there, but won't have the effect. The enemy's not talking about what happened to, well, wait a minute. On Monday I had, you come back Tuesday, you come back brave, you come back strong, you come back looking me in my eye. I had you running on Monday, but on Tuesday you got me kind of afraid of you. We have resources that we haven't tapped yet. Resources in God. Suppose you had everything in this world except someone you could cry out to and could hear you and answer you and strengthen you. There's a lot of people, see them on TV all the time, got everything, as the world says. There's unhappy folks. That's why you see actors and actresses going in and out of clinics. Because they got all this money. But money can't buy me love. Not the kind of love of God. See, success is fine. All to have stuff is fine. But when you don't have peace that passes all understanding, when you don't have a joy that is unspeakable, there's something wrong in your life, because that money can't get to the area where God blew into you his breath. See, God blew into us his breath, and we have his DNA. And for some of us, DNA means did not activate. Because we haven't totally surrendered unto him yet. But when God gets a hold of our lives, no matter what's going on, we can go to him and we can tell him all about it. And we can be like David and say, David, you know, David said, I'm a king and I got everything. But God, I need you. You can have everything on earth, but if you don't have God, you don't have anything. Because all this stuff can mean nothing, especially when it starts to fade away, when it starts to deteriorate, when it starts to break down. That stuff can't answer you. That stuff can't strengthen you. It'll make people look at you and respect you and put you maybe in Forbes. But when it's all quiet, tell me which one of the things comes next to you. Which one of your cars, which one of your houses, which one of your rings or jewelry comes next to you and say, it's going to be all right, don't worry about it, it's going to be all right. Can't nobody speak to you like God. But we protect stuff like it speaks to us. We want stuff. If we wanted God like we wanted stuff, we'd be so much better off. If we would seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things would be added, and they would be in the proper perspective. We wouldn't get it all twisted. My God. I know some poor people that's more happy than some rich folk because they got Jesus. And because they have Jesus, they're really not poor. They're poor by the economical standards of the U.S. government. But the U.S. government don't even know what's going on. Because I'm rich. Because my daddy's rich. As a matter of fact, I'm glad when we do our taxes, they don't ask who my real daddy is. Because they might try to get me. They might try to get us. Pay taxes on all that to God's promise. Who's your daddy? You have an inheritance? And Jesus already died? David said, God, I thank you because you heard my soul crying. And you love me enough. And God said, I heard everybody's soul crying. That's why I sent Jesus Christ to bring all of us back to relationship with God. God, I thank you. God, you know, we really don't deserve your mercy and your grace, but God, I thank you. Have you ever just stopped to thank God that you saved? We just go through this thing. God, I thank you that the blood of Jesus could save a wretch like me. We won't even call ourselves a wretch no more. You know, we think we all right. You know, we'll tell one saint, well, it probably took a gallon of blood to get you. A few drops of me. You know, I came from a good family. The Bible says our wife is with number of filthy. Save the blood of Jesus. You and I right now, if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus, we'd be nothing and nobody. Make no mistake about it. We could smile and look good today because of the blood of Jesus, because we're saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, because all our stuff has been taken to the cross and it's been buried and Jesus got up, and there's the power of forgiveness and mercy and grace and love that is still active in Christ Jesus, that even though we might mess up, fall, we might do crazy things, we can still go back and ask for forgiveness. We can go to the throne of grace and we can be restored. That's why we are victorious. That's why we can serve him and love him. That's
why we look as good as we look. That's why God is blessing us. That's why we're receiving this and we're receiving that. That's why he's keeping us from danger seen and unseen, because he just needs somebody to have a testimony. He needs somebody down here like Job to tell the enemy, look, you ain't got everybody. Everybody's not going for it. There's some people that love me just because of who I am. You know, he said, people that love me just because I am God. Just because I put the sun in the sky and the moon in the sky, because I can make green grass grow on a dry desert land. Somebody just love me because how excellent is my name in all the earth. That's what God, I thank you. Because if it had not been for you, I could be out there not even know my name, doing stuff that I think was right and was totally wrong. God, I thank you for stepping in. Some of us were on the road to eternal damnation and God stepped in. That's why David was praising him. David said, God, I thank you. God, I love you. Brother, I saw your hand back there. I know what you've been through. We had some conversations. You've been through some stuff, but God stepped in. And sometimes we get mad with God. God, why are you stopping this? God, why are you stopping me from doing this? I spent all my years trying to do this, trying to do that. Here you are. You better learn how to trust God. Don't be fussing with God. God knows what's best for your life. God will block some stuff. You think it's time for, okay, yeah, this is the one. No, this is it. Oh, I got to do this. No, I got to buy this. No, I got to buy that. You get down there to sign the paper. God said, no, don't buy it. And then you come back and say, I heard God say not to buy it, and I signed anyway. Why you sign? Listen to the voice of God. God, you know, God has stopped so much stuff from going on in our lives. And you and I know when we've been disobedient, because we in some stuff right now we wish we had never touched. We wish we had never invited. There's some people we wish we never gave our phone number to, never walked down the altar with, never married before, never even saw in our life. You can't even stand to see them no more. There's some stuff that God told us not to do, and we went on and did it anyhow. And we're just trying to get out. God, so merciful and gracious, he said, I'm going to help you out of it, but the next time I tell you not to, don't. You calling me, praying to me, asking me about this and that, and I'm answering you, and you're not even listening to me. That's where mercy and grace comes in. God, I'm being merciful and gracious to you because you're my child. But I want you to learn from your mistake. I want you to get out of it. Stop telling yourself, this is all you can do. This is your life. This is what God wants me to go through. If God didn't say that's what he wants you to go through, then why are you telling yourself that's what you're supposed to go through? Come on up out of that nest. You work more than that. You've been redeemed by the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We've been redeemed by God's only begotten Son. We ought to be thankful about that thing. When you look in the mirror, you ought to see yourself washed in the blood of the Lamb. You ought to see yourself saved, sanctified, and filled. You ought to see yourself in Christ Jesus. Stop seeing yourself as what they call you on the street. Stop seeing yourself as whatever has you in bondage, got you all wrapped up and messed up. You look in the mirror, all you can see is something going up your nose or a needle in your arm or you slipping it out of somebody's bed. You are better than that. God redeemed us to a better life than that. Stop living beneath the privilege and come on and grab God. If we weren't worth it, he never would have sent Jesus. Oh, this is a time of Thanksgiving. It's all right. Go ahead and eat the turkey. But God bless America. Be something in your life. Do something with your life. Stop going around and around and around and around in the same old vicious cycle. Wanting people to feel sorry for you. Get up out of that stupor. Get up out of that mess and be redeemed. If you say you've been watching the blood of the Lamb, stop letting the enemy speak to you. Tell you not this, you not that. Tell you can't do this and can't do that. You were smart before the enemy talked to you, and you are Psalm 139, fearfully and wonderfully made. Who told you you weren't? I know. You came up rough. Somebody abused you, misused you, talked rough to you, but God said, I can help you get over that. I can put you, Humpty Dumpty fell off the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men could not put Humpty back together again. But had they called Jesus, I know somebody who can fix your Humpty Dumpty. His name is Jesus. Can these bones live?
towards God, thou knowest.
So he told Ezekiel, if you know it, if you believe it, speak. We got some folk in the church that ought to speak life to other folk. Don't talk them down. Don't talk about them. Speak life. When you go to Kirk Fries, speak life. When you see your brothers and sisters all strung out on drugs and messed up by alcohol, don't down them. Speak life. I see what you look like now. You remind me of Humpty Dumpty. But I know somebody who can put your Humpty Dumpty back. Oh my. That's what nursery rhyme gonna come real up in here. They going to grab all the king's horses and all the king's men. A lot of us calling on the wrong folk. Do you know you can get a prayer through? Nothing wrong with asking somebody to pray for you. You know you can get your own prayer through. Did you know that? Do you know God can hear your voice? Do you know God can hear your prayer? You know you don't have to wait till you get to church to pray. Oh, Jesus Christ took my place. He took your place. It should have been you and I on the cross. But God, I thank you. I thank you. If you just prick my finger with a nail, I might scream. But think about it. He took our place and they nailed him to the cross. For you and for me, we go right by that. But God, I thank you. Because when you really look at the story, I should have been hanging up there for myself. But the way you designed it, you said, no, I want to redeem you through my son, Jesus Christ. God, I thank you because Jesus went to the cross and died for me. And on the third day, he took my mess and your mess. All our mess in this church together was enough to hold him down. On the third day, he got up with all power in his hand. A resurrected Savior. God, I thank you. Because life now has meaning because he lives. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. You know, my entire life has changed because of Christ. Your life has changed because of Christ. The direction of my life has changed because of Christ. The direction of your life has changed because of Christ. God, I'm thankful. For it's through the blood of Jesus that I can cry out to you and call upon you and you'll answer me and you'll strengthen me. God, I thank you. Because you've been a bridge over troubled water. They said, our grandparents would say, God, you've been a doctor in a sick room, and a lawyer in a courtroom. God, you've been a friend that sticker closer than a brother. Say, God, you hear my prayers in the midnight hour. Somebody say you're a wheel in the middle of a wheel. When we were in Bethlehem, we saw where Mary's baby was born. Somebody else called them a rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. Somebody else say he like a mama to me. Somebody say, well, he like a daddy to me. Somebody else say he is my all and all. Somebody said, when I'm sad, he makes me glad. He's my friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. Somebody else said, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I just come to let somebody know today, God, I thank you. And I don't need nobody to tell you thank you for me. Because God, you've been mighty good in my life. God, I thank you. Because when I wasn't fit to live and wasn't ready to die, you sent Jesus your only begotten Son to die on Calvary's cross. God, I thank you. But that's not how the story is. I've had some friends that would go with me part of the way. But I got a friend that went all the way. What do you mean, Pastor? There was a part that I couldn't do for myself. I was so messed up that I couldn't even do it for myself. But God sent Jesus. He said, don't you worry. I got somebody that can walk all the way to Calvary's cross and take your punishment. How much can he take? He said, well, they're going to hang him high and stretch him wide. He took all my punishment. He said, but then I got to make sure the stuff don't come back to get you. So they put him in a borrowed tomb. And y'all know about borrowing. When you borrow something, you ought to give it back. That was the strength of the Free Library of Philadelphia. That you borrow books and you give them back. But I hadn't heard about somebody borrowing a grave. Why would you borrow a grave? Dead is dead. Not with Jesus. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. I guess after 3 days, it's still like new. Could they still sell it as new? Can somebody like check that out for me? If it's supposed to be used for 3 days, can you still sell it like it's new? A sepulcher, almost brand new. Never really laid in as long as it should have been, but they put him in a borrowed tomb. What I like about Jesus is once they buried him, since he knew the whole story, I think he got restless. He said, look, I got can't rest. Anybody ever sleep at night and get restless? You got something? I can't. I got something. I can't. I have too much on my mind. I can't stay here. You ever been restless at night? Jesus, I got all these people that I die for. I can't. They need to see me. I can't stay here. God has promised them that they're going to see me again. I imagine he tossed and turned. And they might have given him some no-dose, but it didn't help, you know. And take summer next night and sleep. But he said, there's too much going on. I can't stay asleep. I don't feel, ain't no sin on me. I done went down and talked to the enemy and let death know you ain't got it going on no more. I cooled death out. Let me get up from here. It wasn't even time. You know, you ever get up before your alarm clock went off? You turn it off. Let me get up from here. He got up with all power. Why should he stay down? He did what he had to do. I come to let somebody know you did what you had to do. You gave your life to Christ, so you might as well get up. He got up with all power in his hand. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? And today you and I are living a new kind of life because of our resurrected Savior. Oh, we ought to thank God for that. Let us all stand. Somebody ought to be excited. Somebody ought to be happy. Jesus got up out of the grave. God, I thank you. You heard my cry. You answered me, God. You strengthened me.